Man, I just can't. That's all I can say, but I'm glad some of you can. But I had a preacher wisely years ago said to me, he said, Brother Carlisle, God made some of us to listen. And he did. If all could sing and nobody there to listen, it'd be a bad show. But I'm glad you're here, brother, your family, and we're praying for you. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Turn your Bibles there. Brother Shane had us to sing earlier today, Precious Memories. And it's amazing how some songs will get a connotation or maybe a testimony of being a certain type of song. And most people don't sing Precious Memories until they go to a funeral. But I got more memories than just that of a loved one that's going on. And here we're going to look at a fella that is now 80 years old. He's fixing to die. He's lived a good life and served his God faithfully. And I want to read just one verse. He says in verse number 34, And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you, God, for meeting every need that we have need of. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd speak to our hearts through the preached word. If there's one here lost and without Christ, may this be the day they'd be saved. I pray, God, for that Christian that's going astray. God, draw us back. Help us to be what we should be for you. And God, we pray that you would honor your word. May it find, God, lodging in our hearts and bring conviction thereupon. And we'll thank you, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now, it would do us good to go back and study the life of Barzillai. And he was a great man. You don't find anything bad about him in the Bible. And basically, he's saying, I have no regrets. He's looked back over his life and he's done everything that he can possibly do for the Lord and for God, and he was a loyal friend to David. Even when David failed and David messed up, this man stood by him and worked with him and blessed him. And then, of course, we find that in verse 37, he said, Let thy servant die, I pray thee. Turn back again that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. He's fixing to die and he's telling the servant, just let me go and let me die and let me be buried in my family cemetery. Now, I want to ask us from this point of view, how many of us can look back over 2007 and not have any regrets? I mean, we look back, we know what we did, we know what we didn't do. See, I can't look in the future. I can promise God by His good grace in the days to come that I will serve Him and be faithful to Him. And I hope by God's grace that'll be exactly what will take place. But I do not know for sure what the future holds for this coming year. But I can sure look back over 2007. I can look back over 2006. And right on down the line, I can look back over my past life. And I can see sometimes very shamefully some of the failures that I had. And seems like they're in neon lights just flashing over my head saying, see how bad and how poor of a Christian you were in these past years. But old Barzillai, he was a pretty good old fella, 80 years old. And it do you and I good to listen to those that have been faithful and served God. Those who have, by experience, done the things that God's wanted them to do. And learn by their example. And we see some things, my dear friend, that I believe if we'll listen and follow, I believe we can have a good year in the coming year. And there are some things that we can do that will help us and encourage us in our walk for God. And I say this on the outset. Number one, make sure this is the year that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about depending on what mama said and daddy said, what the preacher said. I'm talking about knowing them without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and born again and on your way to heaven. Amen. There are a lot of people that say they're saved. They say, I think I'm saved. They say, I hope I'm saved. They say, I might be saved. But we need to be able to say, I know without a doubt I'm saved. And I know the Lord Jesus. Not might, not hope, not maybe, but I know. What if God were to send the death angel our way today? What if the rapture were to take place? I was speaking to a lady yesterday, and I went to see her husband, actually, and he was gone. He's got to go preach a funeral, and I was when I told her bye at the store where they work, I said, listen, I'll just see y'all later, and we'll be praying for Brother Steve. I said, but boy, wouldn't this be a good year for the Lord to come back? I stopped and turned back, and I said, wouldn't this be a good year for the Lord just to come back? And of course they said, yes, it would. You know what the Lord coming back would do? It would solve a lot of problems. Yeah. In fact, it would solve every problem that every saved child of God has. Now, when the rapture takes place and you're left behind, your troubles have just begun. I believe, according to the teaching of the Scriptures, if a man has heard the gospel, he knows the plan of salvation, and the Lord's trumpet sounds, and we're raptured out of here. I don't believe that fellow's going to have a chance to get saved. But oh, listen, I'm glad I'm saved. And you ought to start your year out saying, preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. Listen, I've seen preachers get saved. I've seen preachers' wives get saved. I've seen deacons and Sunday school teachers get saved and born again. You say, well, preacher, man, he ought to have known if he was a preacher, if he's lost or not. Hey, the devil's good at giving counterfeits. Son, he'll give you a wooden nickel and you'll do your best to spend it at the store and won't even know it's fake. He's good at giving wooden nickels. But I'm just saying in all of that this morning to start out, make sure without a shadow of a doubt that you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, friend. Now, I want to give you some things that I believe will help us and that we ought to strive to work on this year concerning our own personal life. Number one, let's be concerned this year about our Christian living. I mean just how we live for God. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know this verse before I even read it. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to make up our mind that this is going to be the year that we just simply going to live for God. We're not going to live for husband or wife. We're not going to live for children, though we should live for them. But what I'm trying to say is, let's live for God first. And if we live for God, then we'll have no trouble living for husband and wife and children and friends and family at the house of God. But don't read your Bible just to please your mama. Don't read your Bible just to please your husband. Read your Bible to please God. He's the one that sent his son. He's the one that died for us on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that bore our sins. He's the one that died. He is the one, my dear friend, that's coming again. And he's the one we'll stand before at judgment day one day. You won't stand before me. I won't stand before you. And I've learned a long time ago, I've got some good friends or thought they were friends, but I found out friends will turn on you. Well, they'll turn their back on you in a heartbeat. And it's sad when that happens, but it happens. But may I say, God never turned his back on you. So let's just live for him this year. Live for him. Make up our mind this is going to be the year we're going to live for God.
put God first in everything. And if we'll live for Him and put Him first, notice Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh. Hey, you're not going to have another body to live in until you get to heaven. I mean, this is the only one you got. I remember when I first got saved, and probably a lot of you might have thought the same thing when the Bible said we're new creatures in Christ. Now, God did make a new person out of us. That new nature moved in, but you still got that old nature to contend with. And boy, it's hard sometimes. That old nature don't want to go to church. That old nature doesn't want to read the Bible. That old nature doesn't want to pray. That old nature doesn't want to go soul winning. That old nature doesn't want to talk about Jesus away from the church. That old nature's carnal and wicked and bad, I'm telling you. But that new nature, boy, he loves God. He loves the Word. He loves to pray. He loves to go soul winning. He loves to do all the things that God wants him to do. And what we got to do is make up our mind we're going to live through the new nature. And not let the flesh dominate our year this year. I mean just live pleasing to Him. Not only concerning my Christian living, but concerning my looking. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, look in 2 John. I want to read you a verse over here. Look at what he said in 2 John. Well, there's Jude. Well, how did I miss that? John, then Jude, I'm sorry. All right, 2 John, verse 8. John said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, what we got to do really is just look more to Christ. So you can look around and always find somebody that's not quite up on the level you are. But why is it we always look for those that are not as high as we are and we don't look at those that's higher than what we think we are? There's a lot of people out there running circles around us spiritually. Boy, we just because we dress right and look right. Hey, it's not just in how, if all you are concerned about, if you're more concerned about how you look on the outside than you are your spiritual depth on the inside, you're a legalist. Now, I believe we ought to look right. Now, I believe we ought to dress right. I don't think we ought to have to come to the house of God looking like last year's New Year's party goers. I think we all look like God's children. I think God saves a man, he all look like a man. God saves a woman, she ought to look like a woman. But I'm saying there's more to living for God than just looking on the outside. We got to do some looking on the inside this year. Look at your heart. See what goes on there. In fact, the Lord said everything that comes out of a man, you know what is the result of? It's the issue of the heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. Look on the heart. What do you talk about all the time? What do I talk about all the time? Look on the outside. And we ought to be concerned about looking more inwardly at Christ this year. And let's be concerned more this year about just listening. Listen to what God said in Mark chapter number 4. I mean just listening. Mark 4 and verse number 24. God said, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. We just need to be careful about what we listen to. Somebody comes in, starts running down the church, running down the preacher. Don't say, let's go to the coffee house and have a prayer meeting over it. Really, what you want to do, let's just go gossip a while. Hey, if somebody wants to, if you don't love your church and your pastor and your Sunday school teacher and your fellow servants in Christ anymore than to go somewhere and talk about them behind their back, you don't love them at all. You don't. So let's be careful what we listen. If somebody calls you and say, hey, boy, I got something to tell you about so-and-so. Best thing we can do is say, let's go together to so-and-so. Let's get this thing straightened out right now. Let's nip it in the bud, as old Barney would say. Let's get her going. Be careful about what you listen to this year. Be careful about what you allow to come through your ears every day. I know on the job, not in the world, there's some things we can't help but to listen to. I mean, it's there. You can't stop it. But we can control a big portion of what we listen to if we wanted to. So be careful about what you listen to. Be careful about what you, how you're looking at yourself and your Christian living. And we need to be more concerned this year about how we speak. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. Boy, he's got some good verses here. He said, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A fool's mouth is his destruction. So be careful what you say this year. Let's be careful about how we engage our mouth before we ever engage our mind and just start running off at the mouth. Because sometimes what we say has a good way of returning home, you know. It has a good way of coming back on us sometimes. Why, you said, and boy, we try to turn that thing around. We try to change it. Well, this is what I mean. No, you said what you said. And my dad, he's just pretty well plain old-fashioned. He's not a rocket scientist, third grade education. But he said, somebody tells me something, and I know what they said, they meant it, and then they try to change it later when they get caught. He said, they were speaking the heart to start with. He said, they didn't love God like they said they did. But I'm just saying, be careful what you say this year. Be careful what you say around the little children. It's amazing what little children hear. You know that? Sure it is. You know what amazes me? And we did the same thing. Get a little old girl, a little old boy in the house, and mom and dad's talking about something. And instead of saying it, we'll spell it. One of these kids are in school, in case you forgot. They know how to spell. They know how to put these syllables together. Hey, after all, man, they got that phonics thing they can take now that we didn't have when we was growing up, as far as, you know, that, what's that A thing? You get A, if you're on A, do something to get A, phonics something. But anyway, I never had that stuff. I never got an A, I don't think. But I do know this. I know kids know enough. They hear enough. I told you about that time. I went and knocked on the door to visit a fella, talked to him about the Lord. A little boy answered the door. First thing he said, he said, you know what my daddy did last night? I said, what? He said, he got drunk. They'll tell what they know. David said out of the book of Psalms, he said, out of the mouth of babes. Be careful what you say around youngers. I wonder why my kids don't want to go to church. Because all you did sitting at the dinner table when you got home was talk about the church, talk about the preacher, run down to singing, run down to message, run down how long, how loud, how he preached everything. If we'd sit there and say, boy, what a good blessed day we had and how the Lord met with us and all, that'd make the kid want to come back. But if all they hear is mom and daddy run down, run down, run down, they're not going to want to come back. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to go where you go either. Or rather, I'd want to go, but I'd want to go without you. Be careful what you say this year. This old boy said, if you can't say nothing good about somebody, don't say anything. Just be careful what you say. What I say, and not only what I say, but I need to be careful about what I preach this year, Brother James. You know what? As a preacher, and Brother James knows this, as a pastor, I'm not only going to give an account of what I've done personally, but I'm going to have to stand before God and how I run the house of God and directed the house of God and preach to the house of God. Yeah. So I got to be double careful what I say and what I preach. I know a lot of preachers who preach one thing, believe another. We need to be careful. Then we need to be careful concerning our learning this year. 1 John, look back over there with me and little John over here. 1 John chapter number 2. in verse number 27. Well, let me read verse number 26 and 7. He said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." Be careful this year about what you read, who you listen to. Boy, these preachers, I hear them on the radio, and I'll hear them on the TV, and then I'll hear somebody out of a good, solid, fundamental Baptist church say, "Boy, I really like old so-and-so." That tells me one thing. That man does not know his Bible like he ought to know it, or he wouldn't be liking old so-and-so. Be careful about your study this year. Learn the Word of God. Now, when I first got saved, and especially after I was called to preach, Brother Hillary, I was bad to go to churches or preacher fellowships. And this little group over here, boy, they'd dot the I's and cross the T's this way, and I'd try to be like them, you know, to get in their fellowship. I'd go to a meeting over here, and boy, they'd cross their T's and dot the I's like this, a little different than that group over there, and this group talk about that group, and that group talk about this group, and I say, "Where do I belong?" And God showed me one day, Brother Derek, he said, "You just get the Bible and you study the Word of God and I'll show you what's right." I cannot pastor the man's church down the road. And it's none of my business what he does or doesn't do there. I can only be concerned about one church, that's this one. But I'm just saying, just cause a fellow down the road sounds like he's a little more, got a few more flyers in his sermon, and boy, he kind of shades things off, and you think, "Boy, that's where I need to be." You be careful running over there. You'll get burned quick. But I'm just saying, know the book. I don't have to go to Promise Keepers to learn what God's promised me. I know what God said. Just get in this book. And he said, "The same anointing that taught John, I teach you also." The same anointing, the Holy Ghost that taught Paul on the backside of the desert, will teach you also. And you know what he'll do? Teach us the same thing. He's not going to teach you anything different. Now I know churches vary in different things, but we should never vary on our doctrine. We should never vary on salvation. Is it eternal or can you lose it? If this side over here believes you can keep it, and this side over here believes you can lose it, this side's wrong. And I'm not going to cater to that side. I'm going to cater to this side. Well, if this crowd over here says on this side, "We believe you, the second blessing is speaking in tongues." This crowd over here says, "That's not it." And Brother Derek's the captain. He's already shaking his head. "No, I'm going to lean on this side." See, there should be no division in the church on what we believe. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Know the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, churches will differ on a few things. I'll just throw one example out and move on. But some churches will differ on communion. I know some churches that has communion every time they open their door. But I'm not going to fall out with them about that. If that's the way they want to do it, praise God, let them do it. Well, I will throw another one out. And I've mentioned it 4 or 5 times. And you're probably tired of hearing me say anything about it. But when I first come here on first Wednesday night, I was here and everybody gathered around the altar and everybody prayed all at the same time. I said, "This ain't praying." But you know what I've learned? What God's helped me with? Now, if I go somewhere and they just call on one to pray, I say, "Boy, that's not praying." What I had to realize was God can hear us all when we pray. Now see, if you come down and you say, "Boy, I don't like that, everybody praying all one." See, no, what you're more interested in is what the other fellow's saying. Talk to God. Little boy went to supper one night, bowed his head and raised it up and just went to eat. little fella's daddy said, son, I didn't hear you pray. I didn't hear you ask a blessing. He said, well, I did, but I wasn't talking to you when I said it. So God has no trouble hearing when we pray. But I'm just saying this year, study the Word of God. Know thus saith God. And then let's ask God to help us with our liberty this year. Boy, listen, you got all the liberty in the world as a child of God. And again, please don't misunderstand me. I believe a Christian ought to look right, dress right, and all these things, but sometimes I think we get too caught up in certain issues and we forget about everything else. Listen to what John said in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know, as a child of God this morning, you are free? Free? Free indeed in Christ. You're not under bondage of the law. Thank God for that. How many of us in this building this morning are capable of keeping the Old Testament law, if that's what it took to get to heaven? Well, there ain't one of us in here can do it. Well, I'm glad I'm not under bondage. See, it's not a set of rules and regulations that's going to get you to heaven. It's belief in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to get you to heaven. And once you get saved, you're free from that bondage that the Pharisee crowd tried to put them under. That Sadducee crowd tried to put them under. So I'm free. So I can pray when I want to. I can pray where I want to. I can shout if I want to. I can read my Bible if I want to. I can study my Bible anytime, any place, anywhere. I don't have to wait for a high priest to come to me and ring a bell and say, it's time now, let's just get together and study the Word. No, we can do that anywhere. But, of course, we know as a child of God, God said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. We ought to make this a year that we're just going to come to God because we love God. Come to the house of God because we love Him. I mean, make up our mind, we're going to be there every time the door's open. Make up our mind, we're going to be in every meeting that we have this year. I mean, listen, we come because of the liberty that God's placed us in. We come because we're free to do so. I heard old Oliver Green preaching one time. I believe it was him, but it was one of these great preachers of yesteryear. A fella asked him, said, say, why don't you come in? Or don't you believe in drinking? He said, well, I could drink all I wanted to. He said, but I don't want to since I've been saved. And he went right on down the line. He said, I could play cards if I wanted to, but I don't want to because I'm saved. He said, I could tell all the dirty jokes I wanted to, but I don't want to because I'm saved. Why? He's in liberty tonight, or this morning. And you and I have liberty. Let's use that liberty to serve God. Paul said, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And boy, if the Spirit of God controls our heart, if He controls our thoughts, if He controls our actions, boy, we're at liberty. See, you don't owe anybody an apology for not doing the things they do. You don't have to apologize to the world for doing the things the world does. You don't owe them an apology. You don't have to bow your head and cow down when somebody says to you, come to our party and all that. No. Man, you got all the liberty in the world. Stand up and say, hey, I'm a child of God. I don't do those things. God saved me by His good grace. I'm saying 2008 is already on us. This is our first Sunday. Boy, we need to be praying, God, help us. Because you know what's going to happen? You and I are going to turn around, and it's going to be 2009. My daddy used to say, son, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I believe that. I believe it. By the time I get to be Charlie Bryant's age, we'll have Christmas every other month. We'll have Thanksgiving 6 times a year. I mean, son, it'll fly by. It'll be gone. But let's just take one day at a time and live for Jesus. And when we come to the end of our life, like Brasilia did, that we'll come to the end with no regrets. We'll say that we have done what God intended us to do. And like old Paul said, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And boy, I want to finish on top. I want to be able to look back as this old man of God did and say, boy, I've had a good life. I lived it for Jesus. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you don't, this would be a good way to start the new year. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins that we might be saved. Lord, I pray that, Lord God, we that know we're saved, that we would, by your good grace this morning, determine that we're going to live for Jesus. We're not going to worry about what other men might say. We're just going to live for Jesus. We're not going to worry about what family says. We're going to live for Jesus. God, I pray that you'd help our young people, God, to live for Jesus this year. Help them to put Christ first. I pray, God, you'd help us as parents to live for Jesus this year in front of our kids, that they might see and hear Christ. God, I pray you'd bless Maple Grove with an abundant year. God, may this be the year that we would see many souls saved, many hearts stirred, many called to serve you. And God, we'll be careful to praise you for what you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Shane, you come. Our musicians will come. We'll have a stanza of an invitation. If you need to come pray, you come. If you need the Lord as your Savior, you come. We'll let someone take the Bible and show you how you can know without a doubt you're saved and born again. What number, brother? 335. Let's stand and sing, and you let the Lord have his way in your heart this morning, please. Amen.